Hello?
Hi, Janice.
Hey, is this better?
Yeah, you do. You're coming through very clearly.
Okay, good, good.
Perfect. All right, so let's get right down to it. We'll start with your year of graduation and your major.
Right. So I graduated in 2013 in the summer. And
2013, you
said? Yeah. And my major was film scoring with a minor in video game scoring.
Very nice. And what was your primary instrument?
My primary instrument was guitar.
Cool. All right. So tell us about your current job.
So right now I am the director of Gutrun Corp, which sounds a lot more fancy than it is. So basically my family company owns a publishing company called Gutrun Publishing. Although we also operate in the UK. And since I was moving to the US, we started a subsidiary in the US called Gutrun Corp. And I am the director of that. But
so
right now,
G-U-T-R-U-N?
G-U-D-U-N Corp.
Gotcha.
But my title before that, because I just moved permanently back to the United States last month, so my current title really is head of production and marketing, and I kind of oversee basically the publications, all the books that we publish, and the marketing materials, etc. The reason why my title is different now is because we plan to do business in the United States, which I will oversee. But that's not really going to happen until the fall at the earliest. So it's a little bit complicated.
So at the moment, in terms of, let's say, the United States branch, is it just you then, or are there any other employees?
It's just me. But we're going to hire more people, mainly salespeople.
Okay, cool. Can you tell us a little bit about Gutrun Corporation and what exactly it does?
Yeah, so we have, within the so-called Gutrun Group, we have three companies right now, and they're all based mainly in Iceland. We have Gutrun Publishing, which sells books on the Vikings, mainly to museums and big bookstores in Northern Europe. And we have all our kind of offices in Iceland, but we have all our inventory is located in the UK. And then the second part is something called Sole, which is a tourist media company, and we publish free tourist sites on kind of restaurants and museums, etc. in Iceland. And
now, you said you publish free tourism guides?
Yeah, so basically the business model is that we sell access to it. So if you're a museum or a restaurant, etc., you can pay to be in it. And we distribute these free to tourists coming to Iceland. We also have websites and apps being developed that accompany each guide. It's five separate guides that we publish. And we also publish a magazine, Reykjavik Fashion and Design, which is a magazine about, obviously, fashion and design targeted for tourists
in Iceland. Like,
yeah,
is that a kind of, here are some good places to shop?
Yeah, a little bit of that. Talk, you know, interviews with designers and ads and events and stuff like that. Yeah, and we sell those at bookstores, but we also have certain high-class, high-end hotels that offer those for free for the customers.
Okay.
So we're kind of targeting the kind of upper middle class.
Uh-huh. Okay, can I ask a really obvious question?
Of course.
It sounds like two of these three things are specifically for tourists visiting Iceland.
Well, the Viking books.
Viking being the one that's more general interest.
Yeah, I mean, we sell way abroad than we do in Iceland of those. Although we do sell a lot of those in Iceland too, but mainly we sell those to big museums like the Viking museums in Scandinavia, and, you know, British Museum in England, and then in Ireland.
In other words, you sell to them and they put it in their gift shops?
Yeah, basically just wholesale. We do sell a little bit on Amazon, et cetera, but it's very, very little. Most of it is wholesale.
I was going to say, so what does a Guthrum in the United States do? Is it just the Viking books or are there other branches?
You know, we do have a couple of customers here, like the Smithsonian and the Fields Museum, and some in Canada too. So we have done a little bit of business here, but not a lot. So we could do a lot more of that. Especially there seems to be an awakening of interest in Vikings in the United States. For example, here in New York, the Discovery Museum in Times Square has a huge Viking exhibition right now, and will be for a year, I think. And different traveling exhibitions. And it also seems there's some kind of weird synergy between stuff like Games of Thrones and like fantasy stuff and Vikings. I'm not really sure why, but people seem to be connecting with that through that as well. So
it's kind of that medieval thing.
Yeah. So it's quite interesting, actually. I mean, it's super, super. So, I mean, you know, there's not a lot of companies doing this, but yeah.
But just curious, when you were at Berkeley, did you ever visit the quote Viking unquote tower in Waltham, Massachusetts?
I did not, but I did hear about it, but I think that's been thoroughly debunked.
Well, yes, the tower itself was not built by the Vikings, but it was built by a college professor around the 1890s. As a claim to, you know, here's where possible Viking settlement and I'll build a tower.
So. It's actually quite interesting that this comes into our third arm of the company, which is also tourist related. We also own a Viking museum in Iceland that we just actually took over last summer. And that has a ship in it that was built built in the 90s and was sailed to year 2000, and the captain of that ship, he built the whole ship like they did in the olden times with handmade nails and everything, and navigated without using GPS or anything like that. But he sailed it all the way to South America.
Wow.
Which means it's very, very possible that the Vikings could have gone, because now I'm not going to go But now they've found, Viking remains in Canada. But I think it's very likely that the Vikings ventured at least as far as New York or Washington, actually, south. So it's quite interesting because they're always finding new stuff, and it's always being found in the southern or more to the south. So it's very interesting.
So to take it back just to your specific job.
Yeah.
So what fills your week? What do you do during the week and what are you trying to do? I assume part of your job is to bring in more revenue.
Right. Well, my job is partly that, but mostly it's been this way since maybe November. Uh-huh. It's basically just developing new product. So we have we have increased our sales team in Iceland by, we are 10 people now and we used to be 3. So, we're always needing more and more products to sell. And what I'm doing is basically we have a design team in Iceland, a couple of people that, are making the guides and the maps and everything we do. So I am managing them and they are also doing the map and doing reprints of books that we're doing and do new books. So I'm basically just managing them and finding new products to develop. I've kind of stepped away from marketing. My kind of department, we oversee, if we're going to advertise somewhere or something, we oversee the design of that kind of stuff. But actual coming up with marketing strategies, et cetera, is kind of, it's nothing I do anymore.
Gotcha. You said you work the content, so you mean like they'll show you preliminary bits of content, you take a look at it, that sort of thing?
Yeah, basically. We all kind of use Skype and Slack and stuff like that. And I was obviously doing a lot of it when I was in Iceland, but now I'm in U.S., so it's kind of a slightly different workflow because I'm, you know, but it's just a part of it. I mean, I'm kind of transitioning into doing my own stuff here in the U.S. So this is just kind of a transitionary period while I find somebody to take my job in Iceland.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now, one of the criteria, of course, to do these interviews is that you have to enjoy what you're doing. So, do you mind sharing what is it that you enjoy about your work? I could put words in your mouth, but I'd like to hear it from you.
Sorry, Kevin. Well, I really enjoy the entrepreneurial aspect of it. A lot of my stake goes into finding out what else can we do, what more things, you know, I'm developing these apps now, and then we're going to do websites, and, you know, we have to find new products, so we have this, you know, we keep, my job is basically to keep coming up with ideas, putting what models on it, like how much can we make on this, how much going to cost, etc., and, you know, do feasibility studies on just different things, and then we take 1 out of 10, and that's very exciting to me. I love coming up with new ideas and new stuff, especially because now we have such a good rolling machine, good sales team, and a good design team, so basically it's just the ideas that are, it's a limiting factor right now, and that's, I think that's very exciting.
Very nice. All right. Now, you mentioned that this was a family business, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And did you go straight to work there after Berkeley?
No. I mean, the intention after Berkeley, I moved straight away to New York, and I was going to basically write music for film, TV, video games, whatever. And I started doing that, but it just turned out, you know, like everything, it's hard to, you have to have some kind of, you know, seed capital to start off with. You know, you need at least a year or two in my experience to be able to get a rolling income coming in that kind of,
in order to have enough of a time to build a reputation.
Ran out of money, basically.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and just contacts and everything. So I just ran out of money, basically. So, you know, the option, another option was just to go home and work and save some money. And
that's what I did.
And I started really.
How long were you in New York for?
Oh, it was 6 months.
6 months, okay. Then you're like, okay, yeah, this isn't going well. So you went back to Iceland at that point?
Yeah, basically it was just, you know, my parents were bankrolling me at that time, and they were just like, well, don't really have any more money. and that was it. And that's, I think that's one of the struggles coming out of any kind of music school or art school in general. That's a struggle. So
you
I got
home.
A job, but I, you know, fell in love with what I was doing. Yeah, I came home. Which was fine. I've been abroad for a long time, so that was also very nice to see everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But this was also the time. Those 6 months was also the time where I met my now my wife now. So so in the meantime, I was always thank you very much. And so in the meantime, I was, you know, in a long distance relationship with somebody in here in the U.S., which was also difficult and. Which also cost a lot of money, so, you know, I thought that would be a good way for me to start earning money straight away. And it just happened so that I really loved what I was doing. It was, you know, our very small family company has grown a lot just over the last couple of years, so it's been very exciting to be a part of that.
About
that
how
growth.
Many people are in Iceland?
So it kind of worked out. Population
No, I mean working at your company in its isolation.
Or do you mean... Oh, we're about 25 people.
Got it. So, of whom, what, 4 or 5 are members of your family?
Yeah, so it's my mom and, well, my dad and my sister. They work for it. And my mom, she's a lawyer, but also does a lot of work for the company. So she's kind of, so we're about 3.5 people that work for the company.
Gotcha. Now, had you worked for the company before you went to Berkeley?
Oh, yes. I've been working at least in some capacity since I was maybe 11 or something. Stocking boxes or doing whatever needed to be done in the summers. Although I've had some jobs in between, but I've probably worked for the company since I was in some capacity since I was 10, 11.
Gotcha. And curious, when they brought you in and you started working for them again, were you stocking boxes again, or were you immediately post college given the job you're doing now? Of your supervising,
well,
creation materials.
The previous year before, before I went to Berkeley, the year after I went to Berkeley, I was living in London at the time because we also had a small office there, but now we kind of just have the inventory and the mailing address. But I was there working in sales, so I would go to Sweden or England or Germany or whatever the company was, and I had to go there and, either talk to old customers or get new customers. So I was basically just a traveling salesman for a whole year, and I did that in the summers, 2 summers, while I was here. So I was basically mainly in sales and doing kind of odd jobs, because in such a small company, everyone kind of has to do a lot of jobs. So yeah, that's what I was doing. Then I kind of gradually transitioned into production when I came back from Berkeley.
Got it. I'm a little bit curious, that was never my own experience. I'm sure many of us have not worked for the family business, although there are some people who have and some who are considering it. But what's
right.
It like to be working for your family? Because, for most people, business and family relationships are totally separate.
Right.
So, what's it like when your mother or sister is also your boss?
There are good things and bad things. I mean, I think since I was a kid, we've always been, we kind of have always talked about the company over dinner, whatever, all the time. And that's just something I grew up with. I mean, I always it is definitely a difficult balance to balance, whether my father wants to myself, for example, when I was a teenager, when I was just a lot younger than now, there would be times where I didn't take my responsibilities as I would have if I was working at a company where the boss wasn't my father. And there are times where my father, talks to me about business when I'm on my quote unquote private time, So, they're gifts and everything, but I
hold on a sec. It put the call on hold. The last thing I sort of got was sometimes your father would talk about business on private time.
Right. So it's not as strict as a normal company would be. I mean, I'm not 9 to 5 and then I can completely forget about the business. It's something you breathe in every day and weekends and everything. But it's also a different thing because I'm a co-owner of the business, so it's, I do, I work weekends, I work nights. I do it because, hey, if he, you know, it's, I'm going to get, you know, revenue from it, extra revenue. So it's a very diverse business, and it's brought us very close together. It's really close. And okay. I think that's a benefit. And, you know, as a little kid, I've never really known anything else, so...
Right, so to you, yeah. To you it's normal. Can I ask, just curious,
what?
I won't ask what you're paid, but I am curious about how your compensation is structured with it being a family business. Like, do you have a regular salary? Do they give you a bonus? Do they say, here's how much money is left at the end of the month and divide it up? How is it? How does that work?
Right. I mean, I get a regular salary, half. But I mean, there's obviously times where the last get hurt, where I'm, you know, Dad, can you loan me some money, or Dad, can you like pay this and that? So I mean, that's obviously where the line gets blurred. But it's always been very structured that way. I mean, I get. Because, you know, the business has to run as a business, and you have to be able to account for, you know, what's coming in and what's going out. So,
sure.
You know, you can't really run a business where everything is just kind of not structured in a way, that way. So that's always been very... But, I mean, I've always taken a very low pay because, you know, everyone in my family has done that, just because... Everything else we put back in the business.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm curious to hear how the American branch develops. Give me the mood to read about Vikings now. So let's move on to the third part of the interview.
Okay.
So my first question for you is, what, if any, is your current relation with music?
With the music?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I listen to it a lot and I play it a lot. These last 2 years, I've been really, like, there was a the whole of 2014, I probably never touched my guitar at all. So definitely, I mean, from going to playing music nonstop every day, barely touching. That was, it was actually not a gradual thing. It just happened all of a sudden. It was just kind of a change of mindset. But all said, you know, it was a long-distance relationship. We had a whole visa thing going on, plus, you know, the work. So I didn't really have any time, and I just kind of set it aside because it just wasn't a priority anymore. Now I'm kind of more settled, so I've been gradually going back into playing and especially composing stuff. So I mean, it's still there, it's still dormant, and I'm still hoping to get back into it in some form or another.
Sure, it's fine. Okay, next question I have for you is, Berkeley, obviously, you know, you went there knowing it's a music school, you got the bachelor of music degree. Thinking about your current job, is there anything where you feel like your Berkeley education, you know, as opposed to just getting some other bachelor's degree,
correct,
did well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I can't really speak to what the difference would have been if I'd gone to another school. I mean, enjoyed Berkeley a lot.
Yeah, if you just... You get it. Like if you, I don't know, studied chemistry somewhere or something.
Right. I mean, what is, you know, what was nice about Berkeley, in my mind, music is all about and producing something and coming up with new ideas. So I mean, that all helped me a lot in what I do, because that's basically all I do. It's coming up with new ideas. Work with people, produce new stuff. I mean, that's all I do every day. And I think also Berkeley just gives me an in with people. So, you know, you know, if that conversation comes up, oh yeah, I studied at Berkeley, or, you know, I lived in Boston for a while. Just the name gives people like, oh, here's an interesting person, you know, and we kind of talk about that. So just networking wise, it's fun to have. I mean, I learned a lot, even though, for example, I didn't take business class. So, I mean, I was in the music business plan, and the trips and everything, and I learned a lot from Berkeley about business in that way, and it was a great preparation for business in general, and also just for life in the U.S. You know, it taught me a lot about how people communicate here and how, you know, people talk to each other, and yeah, I thought it was very helpful.
Gotcha. And you said you were in the music business club. That's interesting.
Yes, I was actually the president of it. I was actually the president. I was the first, and no, I was only president of the music business club that never took a music business course. But
that is funny.
It's very funny, and I mean, I started. It was the first club I joined along with the songwriting club, and I kept at it all the way to the very end. And that was a lot of fun, and it was, you know, very educational, and I got to know Lou Fabrizio very closely, and, you know, he taught me a lot also, such an important aspect of my Berkeley experience was the music business club. I think it's absolutely a fantastic club, and I haven't really and any intention to do what's happened to it now, but I really hope that it's going well now, because I thought it was a very important part of my experience.
Everything I can tell, the Music Business Club is still going strong. Okay, well, let's now look at the flip side of that question, which is, again, you went to Berkeley knowing it gave one degree, that bachelor's of music degree, not a degree in publishing or, you know, Viking literature or whatever. But all that said, is there anything where you look back on your Berkeley education and you say, you know, it would have been really useful to know this, and Berkeley could have taught it to me, and they didn't?
Right. Just in general, or in terms of what I'm doing right now?
Well, I'm saying, you know, I one would not expect Berkeley to, you know, give classes on Viking literature or something. But at the same time, maybe you feel like there was something where Berkeley could have taught it to you. And it can be kind of really anything. It's an open-ended question, so you can answer it in whichever way or ways you see fit. But stuff that you feel like, you know, my Berkeley education would have been more useful if they had taught me this.
Well, that's a really good question. I think in the beginning, at least, it was kind of chaotic the way that I think just the way that they, you know, they announced classes, you know, liberal arts classes, etc. The music classes in general could have been better. So, you know, I went to a lot of classes where maybe it didn't know what I was signing up for. And in the second semester, you were kind of more into it. So, I mean, in that way, they could have done, I think, get a lot better. But, I mean, it would be nice if there was a little bit more of, I don't know, now I'm just kind of thinking about stuff like organization is why it could have been better. But taught me. I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know.
Okay. Fair. Hey, if you're like, nope, don't change. If you're like, don't change a thing other than, yeah, be a little less chaotic, then that's totally cool.
Yeah.
Alright.
Well, I mean, I get a whole tirade of things that would be changed with Berkeley, but I think what they could have taught me, I think most of the classes and teachers are absolutely world class. So I think in terms of content, it's very good for me at least.
Do you want to do a short tutorial, at least a something you wish? Because I've heard different things. I've heard people saying that they wish there were more career prep. I've heard people say that, you know, they wish there had been specific classes on networking. I've heard lots of different things from people. So.
Right. I think there
could
be a lot ways of saying, this is your major, this may be doing over here, so. Career pathways you can take, where this is like, it's kind of, you know, all of this, that being said, I think the Career Center does an excellent job of you know, people and talk to them, they're very good, but, you know, it'd be nice to have a little bit more of a speech about, you know, this is where you're going to end up, this is where you're going to, and also be more frank about this, like, undergraduate degree, so it's very likely that you won't be working in this when you're done, just so you know that. So I mean, I think I would have been a lot more taking a lot more chances with my classes, explored something new stuff if I'd kind of had that in the back of my mind.
Sure.
Although it's just so different from, you know, if you're 18 or if you're older like me when I came here, it's like totally different experience you have. I think, for example, the Music Business Club could have been supported a lot more by both of the music business department and the school itself. I mean, I remember the Autumn, I can't remember what it's called, the Autumn something. And, you know, and we kind of felt like we were just being on this show for the music business department, but we got no funding, we got nothing in return. You know,
gotcha.
You guys are awesome, but we're not going to do anything. And I thought that was sad a little bit. So, I mean, I think that kind of, between the school could have been a lot more help and funding, honestly.
Gotcha.
So, that's the end of my spiel.
No, that's cool. So, all right, next question for you is, I'm sure you did have that, you know, family business to be part of, but either way, you did manage to find something that you enjoy and do it
right, pretty
quickly.
Right.
You know, there are certainly a good number of other people, you know, some of whom may have families of businesses, some of whom don't, who have not really found that path.
Right.
And to those people, as well as, let's say, Berkeley people in their last year staring out into the big, scary world, do you have any advice?
I think there are certain types of people. Well, me, I've never been able really to be happy with something for too long. You know, I go do something and I love it intensely, and then I jump off to something else. I think people should not be afraid of trying new things and just go for it. I mean, just, you know, rent a crappy little room in a big city and go for it. I mean, I remember my video game teacher, Michael Sweet, telling me once, if you're going to go to New York, rent the cheapest, ugliest, most horrible room you can find, then you're always going to be outside. You're always going to be networking. You're always going to be meeting new people, because it's so easy when you finish Berkeley to just close off, find some internship or job and just, you know, get closed off. So I think that would be my advice. And also be very careful of people that have internships that don't pay anything. I've seen a lot of my friends going through these internship mills, especially for interns and actual employees, just walk away. Those are my two advice, I think.
Gotcha. No, that's very good. I've heard many stories, horror stories about unpaid internships.
Right.
So, okay, we're at the final question now.
Okay.
Which is, you have the mic, so to speak.
Okay.
Is there anything else you'd like to say, or anything you think we missed? You're being recorded.
I am being recorded. That's good. I don't know. I think I think people just should not get too hung up about trying to be somebody. I wanted to be a songwriter when I first came to Berkeley, and then I wanted to be a film scorer when I was halfway through, and then I wanted to be a video game scorer after that. And, you know, I think do a lot of stuff. And then, you know, if you throw 10 things up on the wall, one thing is going to stick, and it's kind of automatic. So don't worry too much about it. I think that's what I would want to say to people.
Nice. Well, that's excellent. So, great advice. Well, hey, Jonas, I really enjoyed our conversation here.
Okay, good. Me too.
And look for an email in the near future. Okay. And, hey, wish you the best of luck as you build up the U.S. branch of Good Front. Sounds really interesting stuff. Now I got to go read about some Vikings.
Yeah, you got to. Right. It is interesting.
Yeah. All right. We'll take care.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.